And then, through the months, I've tried to figure out other ways in addition to virtual, but also look at all the different virtual ways as well. So, I mean, it has totally shifted my thinking about booking. It shifted what I'm doing. I've had a learning curve that has been so high in so many levels. But what I've found is that there are always solutions. And if I can just say that, I'll probably say it 5 times on this podcast, but it's like there are ways in the midst of hardship, to find ways to do things.
Welcome to the Female Entrepreneur Musician Podcast with Bree Noble. Bree is a musician, entrepreneur, speaker, and founder of Women of Substance Music Radio and Podcast. Bree's interviews with successful female musicians and industry pros are both inspirational and informational. She also answers your questions about the music business. Bree is on a mission to help you create great music, connect with your fans, and grow your business, and to truly become a female entrepreneur musician.
Hey, what is up? This is Bree Noble, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the Female Entrepreneur Musician Podcast, where we talk about making great music, connecting with your audience, and growing your business. Today, I am excited to have my friend Tara B back on the show. She has become quite a fixture on the show. I believe she was on one of our really early episodes. I mean, back to like episode number 20 or something like that. Back in 2015 is when I met her. And in the meantime, we've formed kind of a partnership, and I even brought her on as a coach inside my Female Musician Academy, and she has her own courses and trainings that she does as well. And I just love talking to her about booking because she is someone who is in the trenches when it comes to booking, and she has experienced, like you guys have this year, the changes that have happened and needing to pivot and really rethink how she did booking. And she's always so scrappy and proactive. And so I knew she would have a lot to tell you guys to help you with this new booking challenge and this new booking landscape in 2020. So let me just jump right in and talk with Tara. Right before I do, though, want to let you know that we talk about the fact that she's got an upcoming booking challenge called 3 days to Book Like a Boss. And these have always been such amazing challenges to get people really going on their booking. She helps you personally with very specific things, scripts and all that stuff to get you doing it. A lot of times we just hold back because we just don't feel like we know what to say, or we're just not motivated because it seems like a big hill to climb. And being in these challenges really, really helps keep you accountable. So this is starting on September 29th of 2020. If you're listening to this during September, so you want to go to femusician.com/Tara. That's F as in female, E as in entrepreneur, musician.com/TARA, and sign up for this free challenge. All right, let's get into my conversation with Tara B.
All right, I am here with my friend Tara, and gosh, she's been on this podcast 2-3 times before. I think 3 times, maybe 4. I'd have to go back and count, but it's been a while. So I'm so excited to have you back on the show. And I just think that you are the perfect person to talk about this subject in 2020, because 2020 has been crazy for musicians, but especially around booking. So, what are shows anymore, right? And, I remember you posted the other day and you said, like, I booked a show for October with real people. And I was just laughing at that. Like, how weird would that comment be if you put it up there in February?
I know.
What the heck? What does that mean? But, it's what it is now. So I just wanted to start out and ask you, what have you been able to do this year in booking in the conditions of this pandemic? How have you been able to continue bringing in income?
Well, as you know, and our listeners know, it's been a tough year. And because of, the initial, at least for us, when things got shut down in March, every place that, I had been booking probably 10 to 12 gigs a month. I mean, that's what I had set up. And all of a sudden I started getting these cancellations. And I was kind of freaking out myself because, of course, it's more than 50% of my income. And that's a huge chunk. And so I right away, I mean, I knew that there was the possibility of virtual concerts. So I started right away asking people. Like I remember calling the people in March and saying, hey, I can do a virtual concert for you. Are you open to that? And some were and some weren't, because everybody was pivoting. Everybody was trying to figure out like what we're going to do. So yeah, I guess to answer your question just initially, it's I knew that virtual was possible because of like Facebook Live, and I knew about YouTube. And so I started with that. And then, you know, through the months, I've tried to figure out other ways in addition to virtual, but also look at all the different virtual ways as well. So, I mean, it has totally shifted my thinking about booking. It shifted what I'm doing. I've had a learning curve that has been so high in so many levels. But what I found is that there are always solutions. And if I can just say that, I'll probably say it 5 times on this podcast, but it's like there are ways in the midst of hardship, you know, to find ways to do things.
That's, I mean, first of all, it's inspiring because I think that a lot of artists just went into this like negative spiral when this whole thing started, like, okay, shows are out. Now what do I do? You know, but you didn't do that. You just started getting proactive. You started getting scrappy. And so I've always appreciated that about you. So how has it changed when you were calling venues like through the months? I mean, I'm sure in like in the beginning, they're just like, no, like they were just like, in freak out mode, you know, the venues. And then over time, you know, maybe they started getting educated to the fact that there could be something like virtual concerts. So how did it change in your, you know, communication with them? And how did you have to start kind of educating them on what's possible?
Well, what I did was, and by the way, just so you guys know, it's not like my mindset has always been this like, ooh, I can do anything, you know. Well, I shouldn't say that. Sometimes I think that. But I had days, and I had some panic myself in March of like, where's my income going to come from? And what if everything starts getting canceled? So believe me, I'm in the trenches with you guys. But what I did was, I started calling and I started explaining, you know, what I would do is I would get on the phone, and I've kind of told my booking table ladies the same thing, like make sure that you're contacting, like just staying in a relationship with these people that have booked you in the past, or that your gigs are booked, or, you know, so all through this time I had gigs that were booked all the way through December. And what I've done is I would call the places up. Usually I'd try to call them a couple weeks in advance. Like now that's what I'm doing. So like I have all my October people to call yet. I haven't called them yet. But what I did was I'd call and I would very kindly say, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing this thing? Because I think it's really important, you know, the focus. I mean, we know we're feeling the pain of it, the loss of income. And so it's very scary. And there's a tendency to focus on ourselves. But I think if you can approach a place and say, you know, how's it going for you? What have you been struggling with? You know, that gives you a feel for where they've been. And all I know is that when I got someone in person and I could ask that, they totally appreciated it. I could go from there and say, well, here's some options. Like, I know I probably can't come in person right now. But if I can't, are you guys, you know, available to, like, do you have a Facebook page? Because there's also the possibility of if a place has a Facebook page that you can cross post to that, which I actually did for one of my library gigs. I'd ask them, do you have the ability to show, you know, a live stream concert? Do you have the ability to show a concert if I get you a link, you know, from the internet? Like, do you have internet service to people that you could show them a concert? I started asking as we were getting closer to summer, because in Minnesota, it's, you know, all about weather here. But I knew we were going towards a warmer season. And so I said, what about the possibility of outside? Now, we were still kind of even shut down. I think most of the country probably was through like June. But for us, like June started opening up the possibility. And so those were the things that I just started offering. And it's funny because even I remember the first time I offered somebody a virtual gig and she said, oh, you can do that? You know, so they just weren't aware of it. So that's kind of where it started for me and the way that I continue to approach places. But again, I think the key thing is how we're actually talking to the person that we're booking, that they are booking us. You know, how are we approaching them? How are we connecting with them? Because you know, you teach this all the time. It's about building relationships and sustaining those relationships long term.
Yeah, absolutely. And in order to do that, we have to be in the right mindset from the beginning, right? And so do you have any tips on how we as musicians can stay in this mindset of like, you know, I'm going to approach this with possibility and not with assuming that it's not going to work out because everything in the world is going crazy. You know, it's really hard to keep that positive mindset, but it will affect our ability to be effective, to be able to create relationships and not get upset if they say no right now and be able to follow up. You know, do you have any advice for musicians who are trying to get back into the booking right now, how they can kind of keep their chin up that way?
Yeah, I do. A couple of things. I think, and I don't know if this will help, but sometimes I have to go back. Like I have to look back at the past. And what I've seen is in the past of the U.S. history, even like think about the people that made it through the Spanish flu of 1918. They also had World War I going on. Mm-hmm. And somehow, you know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, these people made it. World War II, you know, the Great Depression. There were so many things that I think of our past relatives have survived. And so it kind of reminded me like, you know what? They're Americans, they can get through this. And I don't mean just Americans, you know, this is around the world, but we can. So, I mean, that may or may not help you. One thing that I still remember, it was actually Beth Matthew that said that she would do this sometimes before booking. And I encourage you to do it. Sit down, sing a song, like go and just sing something before you actually call or contact or whatever, because it will remind you, A, how much you like it. And it'll put you in, you know, music tends to kick your endorphins up anyway. So if you simply do something that simple, it may put you at least in the mode for a little bit. You know, you may not, you don't have to be in it the whole day. You guys, sometimes I will contact people and I'll feel a little frustrated by either the lack of response or, you know, whatever is going on. But the minute I'm either off the phone or off the emails or whatever, that's when I can vent. I just don't do it when I'm with them. So, you know, because we're going to feel frustration. And you guys, I know you've lost gigs. I counted the other day. I've lost 31 gigs already this year, like lost them. That's not the virtual gigs. I'm talking completely lost. Those are gone. And it's a lot of income. But the third thing, I think this is the most important because is this. Don't think of the person that's doing the booking as your enemy. Mm. And I know that sounds like strong words, but I have asked questions in some of the groups I've been in and on my page, you know, about booking and what's your struggles with it. And what I find is that people start turning their anger and their frustration on like those people or that venue or that place, when the reality is for some of the venues, even wineries or restaurants or places like that, that might be more typical venues, they're struggling too. And they're trying to just keep their business afloat. They're, you know, they're not the enemy. We've got to, if that has been your go-to mode, that's something that is going to have to change, and to try to just see them as people that are struggling like you. And then how can you come together and find solutions.
Yeah, that's so true, because I mean, they're just people too, right? That are trying to make a living for their family. Yes. And you know, what do you do when you're backed into a corner? Like you're going to only be thinking about yourself and your survival. And it's not that they have anything against you.
Right.
They just need to think about like, okay, finances wise, I need to take care of my family and my employees first. And then can I do this thing that I know you know, we'll help this musician, we'll bless the people that come to my establishment, but that can't be the number one thing in their mind. So you have to think about it the way you did, you would if you were backed into a corner.
Yes. And I, you know, and again, it's easy to lump people together. Like, I'm just going to give you an example because this is a bad thing about me. But sometimes when I am on the road driving, I will see trucks and I'll just be like frustrated by that truck. And that's so stupid because it's like there is a person driving that truck, you know? So it's like I've lumped this entity or something with the person, and that's not fair. And so I think if we can be careful to kind of, like you're saying, Bree, separate, like these people have families and, you know, maybe employees. And so if we can think about working together with them, it's just going to be different how we approach it. And I know it's not easy, but it's doable.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I want to go back to what you were saying before about how you, you know, sometimes stop and sing a song before you call people. And I think one thing about that that is really, really empowering is it reminds you how much value you actually bring to people. And so when you go into a booking conversation, you're super confident because it's like, I've got this product and they're going to benefit from this. And, you know, I know that I put on a good show. And it helps you remember that and maybe get out of any kind of negative spiral that you have. And I think what it also can do is it helps you realize, like, when you have that pricing conversation, which is something I wanted to ask you because, you know, we had a whole podcast about pricing, but virtual concerts, right? Musicians might feel like, well, this isn't really going to be that valuable. How much can I actually price this for? So how do you think about this when you were kind of switching people over to virtual?
Yep. Great question. And so I remember specifically one place. In fact, I'll just tell you the story. They had already booked me like long ago. This was in June. And I had called them in May and I was offering, you know, options of outside, virtual, whatever. And I got the lady finally on the phone. And when I chatted with her, she said, well, we can do virtual. And she said, but what do you charge? And I said, well, I charge the same as another concert. And she was like, oh, well, then we can't do it. And I, which was weird because I thought, well, you had budgeted for me already, but that's another conversation. And you just have to let people go when they do that. But the point is, remember, you guys, that when you do a virtual concert, you are still having to prepare your music, your expertise. You do have stuff to set up. It's not like it's a different setup than when you're maybe going to your gig and hauling your equipment, but you have things like lighting. You have things like if we use audio interfaces or software encoders, you've got to make sure that your computer or phone, however you're doing it, is set. Like, do you have a tripod? I mean, there's even equipment that you may have to invest in, like I had to do, just to make sure that these virtual shows can happen. And you've got to check sometimes, you know, the volume levels and is it coming through? Does it sound okay before you even start? So it's very similar in the sense that you still have setup and takedown. And that's where I think people don't, I think they think you can just kind of whip out and go live and, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think for us as musicians, you've got to realize what you're actually doing. And even, I know for some of you, your learning curve is going to be huge to even have to learn some of this stuff.
Yeah. So have you ever gotten to the point where you had to like outline some of that stuff to get people to understand the value? Or do you just know the value in your mind and just be like, I'm not taking less than this?
It depends on the place. I mean, in general, I won't take less. Although I did one time offer a place where they just needed something. They actually needed it quickly. They were like, can you get this tomorrow? And I'm thinking, well, I said, how about if I get you a shorter show, like way less time, and then I'll charge you a little bit less for that. And so, but it still was with the context of, you know, I've pretty much have this, the set price in my mind and I'm not going to go back on it because it is work. The other thing that you guys have to remember is when you're, if you have never done a virtual concert, especially the kind where they're pre-recorded, you have no one to go against. Like, you can sing a song, there's no applause, there's no one there. So your energy level, you have to get up much more than if you're normally just with people. Because when we're with a, you know, in a live, like in-person show, there is some feedback from people we're getting, but there's nothing when you're pre-recording something.
Yeah, it's hard to do it in a vacuum. It's like recording a solo podcast episode or doing a, you know, a webinar or something. It's like you're talking to yourself, but you have to know that you're also talking to a bunch of people.
Yes. And you have to act like you are.
Right.
And it's it. So I'm saying it actually takes more energy to do that than if you were in a live show, just the mental and emotional energy.
I think it does, because when I'm in front of a live audience, I feed off of that and it gives me energy. Whereas with the, you know, the other way, I'm having to give all the energy and I'm not getting it back until later once people are commenting.
Mm-hmm. And even I know, you know, I was talking about pre-recorded, but even in live shows, depending, yeah, how much of your audience is actually there with you, are they going to comment? Now, there's ways we can get them to comment, but still, it can be very different. I can't tell you how many shows I've had virtually, like a live show, where for the first, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, I'm acting as though I'm talking to someone there, but they're not there. You have to, because if someone watches the replay, you want them to feel like they are there. So it is a whole different ballgame. It's very doable and it's very possible. And the more you do it, you'll get better at it. I promise you, if you've never done it. But it's just, it's a, you know, it takes skill. And we don't want to devalue that skill now that we have to have with people as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I'm curious, like, what do you think the pandemic has actually opened up some new streams of income? I mean, obviously, like we were talking about these virtual shows, they weren't really even thought about as something that you could go out and book as much as before. Do you think that will continue after this? And do you think there's any other streams of income that weren't here before that are opened up? And then I'm curious if there are any that you think are like now dead forever.
Yeah, those are great questions. So the first thing, as far as opening up, I do think that there have been things opened up. In fact, it's kind of funny to me that you see some of these big names that are going live now from their Facebook pages. You know,
oh,
some
I know.
Well-known artists. And even like when they did The Voice this year, they were going live from their homes. I mean, the one thing I keep telling people in the booking table is that here's the thing we know for sure about gigs, because there aren't a lot of for sures. But we do know virtual gigs are possible. So we know that's going to be around. And that's why I'm focusing a lot on that. Have they opened up more ways? Yes, because there's obviously Facebook Live. There's Instagram Live. People forget about that one sometimes. YouTube, you can go live as well. You can also do pre-recorded concerts and put it as unlisted on YouTube, you know, if you need to get concerts to other people. You can do Zoom meetings. And I haven't done Zoom myself, but I just had another musician friend that told me how she was doing some Zoom concerts with even selling tickets.
And the thing is, more people are used to Zoom now. More people are used to just going online and interacting, you know. People, like, you know, older people are now going to church online, and, you know, all the kids are going to school online. It's just so normalized now.
It is, and it's kind of to our benefit. And even on Facebook, I notice now when you create an event, like for even an online gig, it'll allow you to go live from that event. Now, I haven't actually done that piece of it. I've usually gone live from my page, but that's allowing people also to have these private events where you can charge. There is something, I haven't done Twitch, but I know that's another one. It's been more of a gamer thing, but that's up. And then a new one that I just did myself for the first time is Sessions Live. And that's it's a streaming platform. It just came about in the last couple of months. I guess it's actually the guy who owns Pandora that started it. It was called something else before, but that's another live stream place where musicians are going live, where you do have the opportunity to make some money.
Oh, and yeah, we had a lot of talk about that in the academy in one of our calls, I remember. And it's kind of, it's somewhat like busking in a way. Is that right?
Yes. And kind of like Concert Window as well.
Okay.
When they were around.
Which are not here anymore. So I'm glad that someone else is coming and filling this space.
I know. And see, I just think there's going to be more, because, you know, what do they talk about with like inventions? Like, that they happen when there's a lack of something, and then the creativity kicks in and people have to.
That's right. There's a gap somewhere. Yeah.
So things like that. And even if you guys have not gone live, the way to have virtual tip jars, I mean, you can have, you know, Venmo and PayPal and Cash App and Zelle and Stripe. I mean, there's so many ways you can actually take money from people so that they don't have to, there's ways for them to, you know, offer you and tip you. And I think musicians sometimes are so afraid of asking for that. But, you know, I think, look, they would tip me live. I put out a tip jar live and people come and throw money in. And so, you know, this is you when you're going live on something. Remember, you're giving people something. This is a really cool service. You are giving them a piece of music that they can't get right now. I mean, yes, they can go listen on Spotify and whatever, but live music, you know, to go. So you have a gift. You have something to be able to bless people with right now.
I agree. And I feel like you are robbing something from them if you're not allowing them to give you gratitude through giving you a gift of money. So don't feel like, oh, I can't put this in front of them. I can't ask them. No, some people really are like, I want to support them, but I don't know how.
Yeah. Oh, and you had asked Brie about, you know, as far as things going away because of the pandemic. You know, I don't know for sure. I do know, sadly, that there have been some restaurants that have closed and they might have had live music. I know that there's some places like wineries, breweries that maybe they didn't have live music for a while, but they're kind of starting to open up. So I, you know, it's so hard to say.
Well, and I think things are going to look different, right? You know, a lot of churches now have like big plexiglass that you can stand behind and sing, or, you know, I know you do a lot of senior places and, you know, they're just going to have it be different the way that they, you probably might, at least for a while, you can't go out in the crowd and say hi to them and all that stuff, which is some of the fun part of doing those events. But, you know, they really need this entertainment. So I'm hoping that they're not going to completely stop bringing entertainers in. They're just going to have to change how they do it.
Well, and let me just share a story, because yesterday I was at a senior place and we were supposed to be outside because, you know, September. Right. But what happened was it was really too cold, and especially seniors, you know, they usually need more warmth. And so the woman had called me that morning and she said, do you think you could play in our entryway? Like, how much space do you need? I was like, well, let's find out. Let's make it work. And she told me when I got there, and even afterwards, she thanked me. She texted me, thanked me. You know, she just said, this is so good. And she said, we want to make sure that we're bringing things to our place as it gets colder. So we've got to come up with solutions. And I just want to say this too, for all of you, as you're thinking about booking, there are people like that. There are people who are not like that, who are not going to find any solutions and just are, you know, frustrated or frazzled or whatever. But there are definitely people who are going to be looking ahead just like you, and they want to find ways because they actually value music and they know it's important for their place, for their venue, for their event. And so please don't assume that everybody's just not going to work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that, and I always like to ask this question to people that I interview, as far as streams of income, like you said, you have 50% of your income that comes from booking, which, you know, was stressing you out for a while, absolutely, this year, but you have 50% that's coming from other things. And I always really encourage artists to diversify their streams of income. So, yes, you know, how did it help you to have these multiple streams of income in 2020? And how were you able to kind of dial up some of them when you weren't able to make as much from booking?
I like that word, dial up, because that's exactly what I did with one of them. So one of the streams that I've had in the past has been teaching private lessons, piano and voice. And I've had students, but I was able to kind of turn around and go, hey, should I add some more? And because I was already familiar with Zoom and Facebook Messenger and so many ways that we can actually teach, I kind of put it out there. I got my feelers out there and I've had a couple more students. And that's been another source of income. I know one thing that I haven't fully done, although I got my reel together ready, is for online things like airgigs.com. And I know Fiverr has that too, where you can offer skills, whether it's as a vocalist, a musician, a songwriter, a producer, if you do any voiceover work. Those are options. Now, you may have to invest in some equipment, but to me, it's if you're investing a small amount, but you know that you can make money, this is the point.
Let's be honest. The amount you have to invest these days is so small in comparison to what it used to be to have a fully functional home studio.
Oh, it's crazy. And yeah. So, you know, I mean, even to do some of these virtual lives, like I had to invest finally in an audio interface, but it wasn't that expensive. It was like, I don't know, $100 or something like that. And yes, I know that's money, but for as many concerts as I've been able to do and do some recording, OBS is a software encoder that is free. And that's something you can use for virtual concerts. But anyway, so streams of income. Yeah. I mean, there's teaching, there's online things. I'm trying to even think what other ways. Well, for some of you, if you've never thought about like doing a course, I know Bree, you had a whole thing on, you know, teaching people how to do courses in a scrappy way, like something that you could teach. And by the way, I know that a lot of musicians, you have a lot of different gifts that you could teach. You could teach about theory or about how to write a song. Some of you have kids and you know how to help other moms that are trying to deal with their kids doing online stuff right now. You could teach something about how to do that, you know, whether it's homeschooling or whatever. There's just so many ways that you can do things right now with other income. But it's really, again, the sense of mindset and saying, hey, am I willing to do this? Places like Amazon and other people have affiliate marketing that you can do. And yes, it's very little, but you can promote products through Amazon and your website. And those might bring in some money. I mean, there's just, and you know, Brie, you've got like, you know, probably what, 40 sources of income or something, but there's just, I think that there's ways, and because I've done that, you know, I have some courses out there. I'm doing some mentoring, well, in your group in the Female Academy, and then I also have my booking table. I've done these teaching things. I've done some master classes. I mean, it's just there's been so many ways that I've been trying to figure out how to get income in. But to me, it's actually kind of fun too, because I get to be creative with it. And there's more that I haven't even explored yet.
True. There are so many that I feel like there's every day I'm finding another thing that I could use to increase income. And like you said, you know, this one brings in $50 and this one brings in $100 and, you know, but it adds up.
It adds up. And that's the important thing. Don't, you know, even like the affiliate income, like there's something through the place that hosts my courses and stuff where I had an affiliate through there that was just, you know, also is now on that well, it's called Member Vault. But anyway, there's a tiny little affiliate income I get every single month. And yeah, it's tiny, but it might pay my gas for that week because I'm not driving them often either. So, you know, there's just little things that we can do as musicians. And it's just not being afraid to, it still kind of goes back to that mindset. Are you willing? And are you willing to just pursue things in a way that is different than you have in the past? Because you know what? We can't go back to what we had. I just watched a webinar last night with Rick Barker, and he was talking about the new music business and how, you know, that has even changed through the years. And I know sometimes for some people, they just want the same. They want the same. But when things change around us, we can't do that. We have to try, even if it's hard. And I think it's okay to go through a grieving of the losses. That's okay. If you feel that way some days, you know, vent it, cry it. I mean, do what you need to, but don't sit in it.
Absolutely. I think if we can always look at the possibility side of the coin, which sometimes it's hard to do, mm-hmm. but you know, I even think about Spotify and streaming and all that stuff and how people were just like, no, I'm not making any money from my music and everything. But if you look at the possibility side of what Spotify offers, as far as so many amazing marketing algorithms and tools that you can use with Spotify that you couldn't do just selling one-to-one CDs or even with things like iTunes and stuff when you were selling downloads, there's mm-hmm. a lot of possibility there. So yes, we can grieve that we're not making as much as we used to on CDs, mm-hmm. but we get all these free marketing tools that we didn't have before. So, you know, I love that you're always looking at the possibility side of the coin.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like during this pandemic, and I think this is true of any hard period of history, there are people who are going to just give up and there are people that are going to find ways. And I want to encourage you guys to be part of finding solutions. And sometimes even as an artist, when you go in for booking, we have to be the creative ones. And I mean, we are creative to begin with. I mean, most artists are. So I think when you go to approach a venue or an event, to just think about, what are ways now that you can actually bring solutions to them? You get them thinking, because they may not have that ability to just think about the different ways, but you do. And the more that you can approach them that way, coming from this like abundance, like, well, I've got this A, B, C, or D, you know, do any of those work? They might be like, they might have thought they only had A. So it's what you bring to them too that's going to maybe make you be the go-to person for them to book.
Oh, so true. And on that note, I know you have a challenge coming up that's going to help people be able to go in with that kind of mindset and be problem solvers. And just going to throw this out there that the link to sign up is femusician.com/Tara. That's F as in female, E as in entrepreneur, musician.com/Tara, T-A-R-A. You want to tell them a little bit about what you're going to be teaching in this challenge?
I do. And for those of you, it's called 3 Days to Book Like a Boss, which you probably like, that might sound, you know, like I've heard that before, because some of you have, but it's going to be a little bit different this year. And we're still going to do some of the things we've done in the past, but really kind of what I want to be doing in it and want to show you guys and give you some encouragement and hope is just A, learning how are we going to approach these people and what kind of things are we going to come up with? And even how are we going to say it? Because it's also important in how we communicate our words, which believe me, I have had to learn because that does not come to me naturally a lot of times to do it in great ways. But we're going to find those ways. We're also going to talk about this whole thing of pricing. I put out, this is interesting. I had just put out on one of my groups the other day that, you know, ask people, do you have a set price? And most people, it was like all over the place. It was like, well, I have this, or no, I don't, or I change it, or I negotiate it. And, you know, I want to show you guys how there is still a way to be able to have something that's more fixed. And we're going to talk about that and get into the nitty gritty of that. And then finally, because of all this virtual stuff and the live things, we are going to be digging into some of that. And I know some of you still have not gone live or maybe haven't dug into that. So I want to take the fear out of it. You know, we're going to dig in and we're going to find ways and solutions so that you can get gigs during 2020.
Oh, and the best thing about these challenges, you know, when you've done them in the past and when I've done challenges, it's the accountability, right? Everybody's doing it together. There's just this momentum and this energy, and you make a lot of progress in just 3 days. So I'm excited that you're doing this. People are going to absolutely love it. So you guys go to femmusician.com/Tara. There's also a link in the show notes and you can sign up for this. I highly recommend it. And it starts on, what's the date?
September 29th.
September 29th. Got
Tuesday.
It.
Yeah. Tuesday. I can't wait to see you guys there. And there will be homework. So that will help with the accountability. And don't freak out about it. It won't be hard.
Yeah. And I know if you're signing up for this early, just sign up, get in there, make sure you don't forget about it. You'll get reminders. You'll get into the Facebook group and start talking with people about booking, and it'll be really, really inspiring for you. So you guys go do that. All right. Oh my gosh. This has been so fun. I'm so glad we got back together to do an update on what's happening with booking in 2020. And Tara, I love working with you in the academy. You inspire me all the time. So thank you so much for just being like a light to musicians.
Oh, you're so welcome. And thank you for allowing me to be there and to be on here today. It's just been a pleasure to be with all of you.
Now go out and make great music, connect with your fans, and grow your business. Female Entrepreneur Musician has been brought to you by femusician.com and femalemusicianacademy.com. And music by Stella Ronson.